Yeah, we can get ready for puja. So Suyan will nominate two person to help light the candles and the incense. Who are the two today? Yi and Chu Po Lien. Okay, help to light the candle and incense. Okay, then the rest of us can get ready for puja offering. Let us stand. Yeah, you can stand there. Yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Now, let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the sadha, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then, together with the understanding, develop the virya, spiritual zeal. Then with mindfulness, we shall commence the Buddha Puja. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1. Then we will commence the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Usavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa ditena ditena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja baca namutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena ca na ca hotu mokhang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motemang adivase tuno bante bujanang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, now let us make the following aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this Buddha Puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is the in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Padang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. And we will off the light so that you can have your meditation. Oh, okay. Oh, there are one or two who are new. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you are almost welcome. Huh? Make yourself at home. Huh? Anything you're not sure, you can ask. Huh? So just join us in the meditation. Huh? Okay. Maybe before we start, I will just ask Faye, you meditate before? Oh, good. Ah, good, good, good. Then easy, huh? Means you have some basic Dhamma, huh? Very easy. Now that it will be very much more easier for us. Huh? Okay, what we will do is I will just explain a few basic, huh? So that you are clear about what we are doing here. We have our pre-puja just now. Huh? Pre-puja is the special devotional practice that the Buddha has recommended to all Buddhists or cultivators so that you can develop the faith the spiritual faculty of sadha leading to virya, then you cultivate mindfulness. If you do it with mindfulness, with understanding, then as your sadha, virya and sati stabilize, samadhi, which is the fourth spiritual faculty, will come about. Then when your mind has sati and samadhi, most of the time it is just silent, aware and collected. Samadhi means the collected mind, unwavering mind. So that is a very, very special spiritual faculty. And this will enable you to see things as they are, so that you can develop the fifth spiritual faculties, which is panya or wisdom. When you see things as they are, you will develop wisdom, understanding. So these spiritual faculties are very important, because it will allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Without the spiritual faculty, the Buddha said, your mind is not strong. You cannot meditate. You cannot understand spiritual teaching. Because when the spiritual faculties are not there, the opposite five take over. The opposite five is called the five mental hindrance, or pancha nivarana. So these are two pair of essential dhamma. We got the chart in there. Where's the chart, Sila? I just put it on the whiteboard. Okay. So these are the two sets of essential dhamma that you may need to develop the understanding. For those who are new, pay attention to these two. So just now when I mentioned this five spiritual faculty, these are the mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why it's called a spiritual faculty. That's why it's called in Pali pancha indriyas. The first one is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When you reflect and contemplate clearly to understand how unique a being the Buddha is. He is not only enlightened but fully enlightened. And he has realized this enlightenment, perfection of enlightenment, that lead to his understanding of this special teaching which he called the Buddha Dhamma. Then he can summarize all of life or his understanding into just four noble truths, which is the essence of his teaching. And through understanding this four noble truths and putting them into cultivation, it can bring about transformation, great transformation, even to the extent of enlightenment, awakening. Then as a human being or living being, with this Dhamma understanding, with this realization of his teaching, we can be free from all suffering. That's why we will have very strong faith in him. And because of his great quality, you can say at that time, the Buddha is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And he is the teacher of man and God. He can teach all beings, no matter what condition you are. So that unique quality can bring forth very strong faith in you. Then you will have great respect and gratitude for the Buddha. And because you see the importance of his teaching, you will strive on to cultivate. That's how virya come about. This is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate his teaching, to walk this way. That's why when you have sadha, virya will follow. If you don't have virya, means you don't understand the cultivation of sadha. So when there is virya, it will motivate you to cultivate. It will arise the spiritual zeal and tenacity to motivate you. And when you start to do that, you will develop sati, because the first thing we cultivate is sati, the spiritual faculty of sati. But this is the basis of all meditation. This is the basis of all cultivation. Without sati, the Buddha said, you are as if dead, because without sati, you cannot be heedful. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So these are very important spiritual faculty, and it is from sati that everything comes about. Without sati, everything falls apart. That's why meditation is to cultivate this quality, sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness is very simple, awareness before the knowing, before the arising of mind. Means whatever you do with awareness. Means you just aware, body and mind as one. The mind and the phenomena as one. Everything that you come into contact, you just aware. So sati can be developed in the puja when you pay respect. Just body and mind move as one. Don't try to know. Silent. Then when you rejoice with the offering, again, your hand movement, you're mindful. Then when you make the offering, you're mindful. Then when you move the offering, you're mindful. Then you can be mindful of all phenomena, mindful of whatever sense or consciousness that arise. Then all of your activity and movement within the present moment, everything that you come to perceive through mind, you can just be aware. The moment you perceive, there is no continuation of thinking. That is sati. Then when you are aware with clear comprehension, means you understand what you are aware of, and also the four type of clear comprehension that the Buddha talked about, then your meditation will progress, your cultivation will progress. So after sati, you just stabilize this mindfulness, silent mind, meditative mind, or the, what they call awareness within. So meditation is to develop this, then stabilize it until it becomes pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, silent mind, stillness of mind, no more thought, no more movement, it's just silent, tranquil, still. That mind state, you must stabilize it. Then it becomes samadhi. That's why the fifth factor of enlightenment is pasati. After that, it develops into samadhi. When it stabilizes, it becomes unwavering and collected. At pasati level, the mind can still waver. It's not collected. When you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi, collected and unwavering. Then this mind that has no thought, constantly aware and very stable, because every moment of sense experience, your mind does not stir. There is no like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. You do not stir the mind. But this mind is collected and unwavering. That's why sati leading to samadhi is very important. Then when your mind is just like that, you are sitting as they are, not according to your conditioning, not according to your views and opinion, your memories and all those things. And then you realize wisdom has got nothing to do with the thought, has got nothing to do with knowledge. It is just the silent mind that awakens the insight into phenomena, that realize the universal characteristics are impermanent, leading to suffering and non-self. So this is very important. Without this spiritual faculty, the Buddha said, these five mental hindrances take over. The word hindrance means it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why they are called mental hindrances. So in life, when you are in the midst of activity, most living beings has this mental hindrance because they have not cultivated the spiritual faculty. So we come here to meditate. If you already have the spiritual faculty, you can meditate very fast because the hindrance will not disturb you. They will not arise. But if you still haven't developed to the type of stability that is needed, then you need to do something if you still want to meditate, because you have to overcome this mental hindrance. So I will teach you some skillful means, which we call mind sweeping method, to decondition the heedless thinking that come about because of mental hindrance. So this mental hindrance got five, the Buddha said. First two is a pair, sensual desire and ill will. So this one has something to do with your senses. When you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or your thought, through memory recall something or create the mental images, then you will react or stir your mind. The moment you react and stir means you will develop the like and dislike or pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And these two are part of the three evil roots of greed and hatred. The first two evil roots of the three evil roots of greed and hatred. And they are also mental hindrance. Because when you have these two evil roots of greed and hatred or envy and jealousy, negative reaction of mind, then this mind is not peaceful, anasana, because you react to it, you give meaning to it, and you develop this, what they call like and dislike, or pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So what you do? You preoccupy with what you see, or what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel, then you are lost in it, lost in thought, lost in the reaction to sense experience. And if throughout the day you do this so often, with every moment of sense activity, it becomes habitual. Then what happens? Throughout the day, almost every moment, you create mental hindrance. That's why you cannot be peaceful in the midst of life. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. That's why you have problem in life. And the Buddha said, this will make you heedless, because you think a lot. Everything also you want to comment, want to complain or react. Kepo, the mind becomes very kepo. So this is the strongest hindrance. Then on top of that, when you have problem in life, when you break the precept or violate certain thing, or you commit evil or do wrong thing, then you will also have a lot of restlessness of mind. Restlessness of mind born of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. When you have problems, your health problem, financial problem, or when you break your precept, you kill people, you harm people, you deceive, you commit CBT and all those things. Then when you commit sexual misconduct, you scared your spouse come to know. Then when you tell lie, and when you speak the wrong speeches, harsh speech, backbiting, so you develop unnecessary problem. Then because of that, there is fear, there is worry. That's why your mind is not peaceful. Even when you sit meditation, you worry. So many things that you have created through your heedlessness in daily life. Like when you commit certain wrongdoing, you will have this heedlessness that make your mind restless, not peaceful. Then when you don't understand, you have doubt. These are all hindrances. Then when you don't see the importance of meditation, when you try to meditate, you become sleepy. And this is sloth and torpor, the third mental hindrance. So this mind is very powerful. So tonight, with this understanding, I will teach you how to develop the meditation. So the Buddha said, don't fight this hindrance. Don't go and control, suppress, or fight the hindrance. Allow it to be. See them for what they are. Understand them. And tell yourself, they arise because I don't have the opposite fight, spiritual faculty cultivated. So your focus is during the day when you are free. Develop the contemplative wisdom to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. Then during puja, pre and post puja, when you go to temple or spiritual activity, you develop this spiritual faculty, because these are the condition behind for you to actually develop all the spiritual faculty. Then you can contemplate on the Buddha, Buddha Nusati, contemplate on the Dhamma, Dhamma Nusati, contemplate on the Sangha, Sangha Nusati, and all those things. This will develop the faith. Then you want to develop the urgency, contemplate on death, Marana Nusati. So there are a lot of contemplative Dhamma that you can work on to cultivate the spiritual faculty. Okay, so with this, maybe we off the light. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. For those who are new, I will give you some instruction as how to train your mind so that these five mental hindrances, they can, for the time being, be less active. I will teach you a skillful means called mind sweeping method, where you feel and relax. You don't think. That's why it will decondition your heedless thinking. Okay, now relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then silence everything. Relax body and mind. Silence everything. Then just feel your forehead. If you want to close your eye, you can. And when you feel your forehead, don't think, don't verbalize, just feel. Then you have to allow the mind to do something. You just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, the mind just silently relax, relax, and relax. Just tell yourself, I will relax into all this mind state. So just feel, relax, feel, relax. Then after that, you move your mind down to your eye muscles, sweep it down. Then you feel it again. Relax each and every eye muscle within. So it's like you scan the body from the forehead down to your eye muscle. Then feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you move down to your facial muscle. Normally after a tired day, you are quite stressed out. When you feel your facial muscle, you realize they are very tense. They are not relaxed. That's why you find it very difficult to smile, to have a radiant smile. So what you should do is, you just feel each and every facial muscle, every strand of it, feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then in order to assist you further, you just visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, when you can feel the joy within, your mind naturally relax. Then when your mind relax with that joy, your facial muscle will automatically relax. That's why it will help you to develop now the inner well-being. The mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace very fast, because when you don't think, you become peaceful. You become aware, silent. Then I will teach you metta or loving kindness. Another skillful means to make your mind has this love or inner well-being. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, you feel it, your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Then you can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. So feel it, no mental suffering, no physical suffering. Then may it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful always, with good mind state. Then may this body and mind of mine too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our heart. Feel it, the peace within, the joy within your heart, the love within your heart. Then you can radiate this same metta to your loved one. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them if you have to. Then You can radiate the same metta to them. It can be your parents, your loved ones, your children, your spouse, your good friend, or brothers and sisters, or whoever. Then you radiate the same. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. Then may they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May they all to have well-being and happiness always. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they always keep themselves peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, together with all Kayanamitas who are meditating here, and all beings seen and unseen within the vicinity of this meditative place, may they all to be well, happy and peaceful. May they all to be free from all harm and suffering, all mental and physical suffering. And may they all to be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you extend this metta to all other beings. May all beings within the whole of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe, may they all to be free from all suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all to be well and happy always, and may their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Then you just feel and relax everything. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your consciousness arises and passes away. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. So you just silent everything and just feel. No need to think, just silent and feel. You can detect whatever vibration or even your heartbeat. You just relax into it and silent everything and just stay with the activity. Whether it's the heartbeat or the vibration, just stay with it. Be with it, don't think. If you are new, you are still not sensitive, you don't have the ability to feel. Then you just, like your mind sweeping method, feel your chest area. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your chest area. If there is any tension, any tightness, any stress within you, that you can feel, relax it. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move it down to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then you sweep it down further to your buttock, feel, relax, then your leg. Yeah. Then you can reverse all this mind sweeping method from your leg, feel, relax, Then you move it up to your buttock, feel, relax. Then sweep it out to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then you move it out to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you sweep it out to your heart area. Now you can just silence everything and just feel, then relax into it. You can detect whatever vibration within or your heartbeat. You just silence and stay there for as long as you can. But if you are still new, not sensitive, it's okay. You need to train. Then you sweep it up to feel your shoulder, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel, relax. Eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead. After you have done one round, if you are already calm and peaceful, then you can move on to do anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath to stabilize your silent mind. This is another skillful mean, where you train your mind just to be mindful of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is the cultivation of the mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Just maintain awareness. Just develop this simple technique of cultivation so that this mind, the silent mind, can become peaceful, can become aware, and this awareness can stabilize through this cultivation. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. You maintain attention in front of your breathing. Just silence everything and feel. The moment the mind detects the breathing, then just follow the breathing. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind and the breath move as one without thought. In perfect harmony and synchrony. Then breathing out, same. The breath and the mind move as one. This is sati. Don't focus, don't concentrate. Just be with the breathing. Initially, when you are new, this ability to maintain awareness on the breathing is not easy. You will realize within split second, this mind wanders off, lost in thought. So when you understand this, you don't react, you don't stir your mind, you don't become unhappy, otherwise they become mental hindrance. So what you should do is develop understanding to tell yourself, the untrained mind is heedless, they think a lot, they wander off very fast. So what I should develop is patience. Patience to continue to cultivate. So every time this mind wander off, you can expect it to wander off many, many times. You just have to remember to bring it back. Means come back to the breathing. Maintain awareness in front of the nostril and start again. Every time it wanders off, come back. Every time it wanders off, come back. Not long, it will stabilize. From a heedless thinking, your mind will become different. It will become mindful because you start to train. And when the mind is trained, this anapanasati will develop. The mindfulness of the in and out breath will become very natural. Then it will arise. And when it arises, your mind becomes very different. It becomes very calm and very peaceful. Then you will experience what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness or spiritual rupture or spiritual blissfulness. So this piti, when it arises, it will make you feel good, very calm. The spiritual calmness that comes with this sati that is developed will make you full of spiritual calmness that has the joy within. Some call it spiritual joy, spiritual rupture. Sometimes it's like it makes you feel so good, like it ruptures inside you. Then there is so much joy, so much peacefulness. When it arises, you just continue to relax into it. Just silent, relax, and just maintain awareness. And allow this mindfulness to continue. Then not long, it will become more refined, more refined, more refined, until you reach the next stage. It will transform from piti to sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. We call it the blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes so blissful. And during this time, you will experience that time of inner peace, inner joy, leading to the inner blissfulness of mind. You will feel very good inside there, and you will like to meditate. But when you attach to this mind state, because it's not an enlightenment factor, then you can have problem. Where later on you want it repeated, it doesn't come. The craving will prevent it from arising. But when you just relax and allow it to be, it will arise. Then as you become skillful, as you relax into it further, this mind will transform further until all of the breathing become very quiet, very still, very subtle, like no more breathing. And that is the next stage of progress. Your mind will become so quiet, so still. We call it tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, or opacity. This is the silent mind that you have to develop. Then when it arises, you just continue to relax into it and just silent. Then don't do anything. Then this opacity will stabilize. Then it becomes very sensitive. Later on, even the subtle breathing will come back to you. You can be mindful of it. Because when opacity develops and stabilizes, the mindfulness becomes very stable. Technically, at this time, your mind is already in sati. You don't need object of meditation to maintain the mindfulness. You can do away with the in and out breath. Wherever you locate this mind, it becomes very sensitive. It becomes very different. Then you can detect your heartbeat. You can detect whatever vibration anywhere where you locate this mind. Okay, I will let you develop those training. Then I will ring the bell maybe after 5 to 10 minutes. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For this webinar, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then always remember, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Especially sati. These are the mind state that you need to develop so that throughout the day you are able to be mindful in the midst of life. And these are the mind state after you have trained your mind. Your mind becomes different. The mind that is trained listens to you. It's just like the dog. You want it to sit, it sit. Run, it run. So your mind, when you train, is the same. You just stay silent. It will be silent. Then you want it to arise. It's at your command. You want it to be mindful. Be with the moment. At the moment of contact, at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind, it will just do that. Then it can be mindful, heedful throughout the day. And this is a meditative mind, not until you have trained your mind, until you are so stable in that faculty, spiritual faculty of sati, you have yet to start the real meditation. Because the real meditation is the daily mindfulness born of this stability of mind, which we call sati. So when you have stability of sati, only you can become heedful. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The Buddha mentioned under Dhammapada verse 21, the first verse on heedfulness. The heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you cannot meditate. You cannot develop the cultivation. So heedfulness leading to the training, the meditation is very important. And for those who are heedful, you never die. You are destined for enlightenment. So heedfulness got two parts. You look at the whiteboard. For those who are new, you pay attention. The Pali word for heedfulness is apamada. Apamada, this is the most important mind state. When you have this, you are destined for enlightenment. Without apamada or heedfulness, the Buddha said, you will become heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. Means you don't stand a chance to have spiritual understanding or awakening. To be heedful equals to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. So this quality of mind, which is ever mindful and constantly meditative, is what Dhammapada verse 23 is all about. So Dhammapada verse 23 confirm everything, confirm to you what apamada is or heedfulness is. So the Buddha said, the constantly meditative and the ever mindful, if you hold on to this practice, that steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. Then Dhammapada verse 22, also very important. These are all in the notes, you don't have to remember them. After the Buddha have explained Dhammapada verse 21, he told the monk, he said, when you can see clearly, distinctly, understanding the difference, the great difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise one, they will intend on heedfulness. So when you intend on heedfulness, the Buddha guarantees you, he said, you will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened being. Yeah. So you are destined to become enlightened being. So these three verse, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, is in fact the essence of the Buddhist, the Buddha's advice for cultivating the meditation. So if you can develop heedfulness, you will become enlightened. It is guaranteed by the Buddha. Yeah. So when you understand the importance of heedfulness, you just have to work towards it, and it's very easy, not difficult. If you commit yourself through understanding, determined to be aware, it will stabilize. Then after that, develop the virya, sadha and virya, to cultivate this heedfulness. Means constantly use the mindfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in daily life. That is the real meditation. Okay, so now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, Amy. Yeah.
Dear brothers and sisters, let's chant and invite the devas together. Samanta Chakravalisu Atragacantu Devata Sattamam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasavanankalo Ayam Bhagantha Dhammasavanankalo Ayam Bhagantha Dhammasavanankalo Ayam Bhagantha Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosanang Putto Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango
Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Yatidang chatari yurisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Bunyam. Bhutang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Huh? Second session is meditation reporting. Huh? You just have to put up your hand. Huh? Then you can report your meditation. Then you can also ask any Dhamma question if you want to. Anything regarding the teaching or the meditation. Huh? Okay, now we open up for the group to ask. Huh? Or report your meditation. Anybody? Yes. You have to show your hand. Mi Fong smile. As usual, nobody. Ah, Wendy. Long time haven't seen her. Ah, is it Wendy? No. Oh, no, Wendy. Sorry. I got you wrong. I thought you were Wendy. You got anything to report? Eh? Your meditation? Yeah, the lady. Yeah. In front of Mi Fong. Irina, is it? Oh, yeah. You got anything to report? Your meditation? Just describe to me how you developed the meditation just now. You don't want to. Is it your son in front of you? Oh, you brought him. Huh? You came before, boy? Oh, yeah. Can understand or not? Or cannot? A bit, huh? Okay, good. Actually, the more useful book is the seminar book. You have the seminar book? The Bangkok seminar? I'll pass that copy to him. Maybe for those who are new, I will go through this one more time. You see, what we are here to develop is to develop the understanding of the Buddha's very unique teaching. As a Buddhist, we are very, very blessed indeed to have Sakyamuni Buddha to be our teacher, to be our guide. And all this teaching he has given us free. Just pass to him. This lady also, give her a set. Now, this seminar book is very useful for you. You want to share? You can have a copy. We have a lot. He took one. Have you read it? Oh, you read but you forgot. Means you didn't really read with understanding. If you read with understanding, you will never forget. Because this is something that living being has been looking for, the secret of life. When you understand teaching, this teaching is like you understand the secret of life, the Buddha said. When you understand the secret of life, you will understand life clearly. Then only you can live life. Yeah. And this teaching is so unique because it is very rare and very difficult to come by. In fact, what he teaches is very scientific, very easy to understand. There is no mystical teaching inside there, where you need to believe him and all those things. What he has explained to us and taught us, everything can be verified, the Buddha said. Because it is part of understanding nature, understanding life. According to the Buddha, is it? We live in this universe, which is very immense. And most of us only relate our existence and our life to what we see in this planet, what we experience in this planet, in this world. And when you are young, you don't even know that the world exists. You only are exposed to what you can experience within your family, within your environment, within the locality where you are brought up. But then as you grow up, you go to school, you develop knowledge, you understand that the world is so immense, much bigger and sophisticated than what you think. Then as you grew up, you experience many things in life. Then you encounter a lot of situations that make you unhappy, miserable. Then sometimes fearful, unhappy. But when things go your way, you become happy, you have joy. But the problem with our world is not everything go your way. And most of the time, many things doesn't go your way. So what happens is, when you cannot get what you want, when things does not go the way you want it to be, what happens? When your expectation in life are not met, when your desire, your craving cannot be satisfied, then when you make mistake, you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then you, as you go through life, you start to wonder what really life is all about. Why am I in this situation? How come life is full of all this uncertainty, full of suffering, misery? It's very difficult to be happy, to be peaceful, to be self-sufficient. Then there are many things that living beings crave for, but they cannot get what they want. So they strive very hard to get them. And after they got them, they thought they would be happy, like financial freedom. Then maybe having a good life. When they manage to make the money, they realize more problem. Then sometimes they become so frustrated. They say, when I was poor, I was much more happier. I don't have so much problem. I don't have so much duties and worry. Especially when you move out your career path, you encounter a lot of high profile cases and situations. Then you get entangle yourself with the corporate world, with the high-end society and all those things. Then when the law come after you, when people come after you, then you realize this is madness, this is crazy. You just want to have some peace. You just want to go back to the good old way where you are free to do what you like to do. But when you are that situation, you actually dream to become like those successful ones, the wealthy, successful film star and all those things. You thought you can become famous like them. you will have the money, you will have the fame, you will have the good life. Then sometimes you thought you can be in the high fashion world, then you can have a lot of pretty girls come up to you or something. Or as a lady, you have a lot of handsome guy going after you. You become so popular. But do you know all these celebrity, they have suffering beyond your understanding. Actually, they are in worse of situation. As I later on, when they are in that situation, they will tell you, don't try to strive for all this. Just be simple. You will be very happy. Otherwise, you will end up like them. They don't even have space for themselves, their own life. Everything is like planned for them, regimented. And this one you must follow, that one you must follow. You cannot do this, you cannot. Then their activity, their appointment are like endless. Although they can have a lot of money, receive a lot of money, but that comes with a lot of sacrifice and all those things. So these are what humanity faces in life and society. So the Buddha actually summarized all of this into just Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And he called it the Buddha Dhamma. I take this chart down. He said, all of life can be just summarized into this Four Noble Truths. And these Four Noble Truths are essentially the essence of the Buddha's teaching. This word essence, you know, the most important one. So within this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha actually summarized all his understanding into just Four Noble Truths. That's why it's called the essence of his teaching. Then within this essence is what he called the secret of life. Secret of life. Because all of life, whether it's mundane or supramundane, they are all summarized within here. Supramundane, It's all summarized here. That's why this teaching is very different, very unique. When you understand the secret of life, you will know how to live life. Because everything you experience within life, whether it's mundane means within the mundane world, within the existential world, that is what we are experiencing now. Supramundane means beyond the mundane world, means you realize the spiritual understanding of life, the spiritual aspect of life, where it's beyond the mundane. And these are what this aspect of life can only be experienced by the enlightened being. That's why it's called the supramundane, beyond the mundane world. Then this word, Four Noble Truths, the reason why the Buddha called it Noble Truth and not any other truth, like ultimate truth or what, is because this word noble, during the time of the Buddha, it denotes enlightened being. enlightened being. Enlightened beings are called noble ones. Are called noble ones. Noble ones. They are noble ones because they are very noble in all aspects of life. They are very noble in their understanding of the law that governs life and existence. They are very noble in the way they conduct themselves. That's why they have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. They are not heedless. They are always heedful, mindful. Then they are very noble in their approach to life. They have great understanding of life. That's why they will not violate or cause any harm to fellow living beings. They will not even go against any moral code, which is governed by nature's law, especially the law of karma. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is the embodiment of the quality of an enlightened being. When you have become enlightened according to the Buddha, then you have all these Noble Eightfold Path qualities. Starting with right view, you will have right understanding and right view with regards to all of the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the three powerful spiritual laws, law of karma, law of mind, law of Dhamma or truth. Then after you have this right view, it will enable you to understand life and live life according to this right view. Because without this right view, you become heedless. You get yourself entangled. All of suffering arise because of that. Just take for example, law of karma, the Buddha said. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. If you know karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? We have to take care of karma. Correct? Then how do you take care of karma? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha. That's like Dhammapada verse 183. I wrote somewhere in it. Oh, I rubbed it off already. Dhammapada verse 183. Advice of all Buddhas. Dhammapada verse 183. So this one is very important. Verse 183. The Buddha said, Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyodapanang etang buddhana sasana. So here the meaning is all evil you have to avoid. That's how you take care of karma. If you violate evil, you commit evil and violate your karma, then you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of your karma. So you will fall. Your life will become afflicted, miserable. And because of that, he said, the first thing you must do is to avoid the pitfall of committing evil. That's why you have to avoid all evil by keeping precepts. Those who violate their precept, they actually have evil roots. They are evil people. They break the law of karma. They violate the nature's law. And like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. So if you don't keep your precept, you violate your precept. Those who violate their precept, they have the evil roots. They are evil people. That's why the precepts say, you don't kill, you don't harm, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't misappropriate, you don't commit sexual misconduct, you don't lie, you don't partake drugs and intoxicants. Who do that? Who kill, who harm, who deceive, rob, cheat, and all those things? Evil people, deluded people, greedy people, selfish people with all the evil roots. That's why you have to keep your precept to avoid all evil. Then the second advice is to cultivate virtue or goodness or kindness wherever there is condition. That's why this one you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the first six path factor. Then after that, you purify your mind, which is meditation, which we are doing today. every Thursday. So here, meditation is the seventh and eighth path factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. Means you develop and train your mind to have mindfulness, samasati, right mindfulness. Then stabilize it to become right samadhi. That's why with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are and awaken. Then develop the wisdom to become enlightened and you liberate your mind. So first right view already so powerful. The Buddha said if you follow his advice, you will be blessed. You will actually change your life. Your life will become very different. You will have the possibility to improve your life tremendously. From a heedless way of living that brings about downfall and suffering into a heedful way of living where you have the mindfulness developed to be ever mindful of your mental intention so that the evil roots are not there, so that you can follow the Dhammapada verse 2 to act, speak and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Such a being, happiness will follow them, like the shadow that never leaves them. So, it is very easy to develop goodness and avoid all the evil. Then by nature, you will be good. When you are incapable of evil, when you keep your precept, you will have goodness. Then you cultivate the four right effort to perfect them, to refine upon them and make yourself more and more beautiful. Then when you do this, your karmic nature becomes beautiful. Then like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. You are kind to people, you are good to people, you are sincere to people, you are honest to people, generous to people. Then you reap what you sow. People will be kind to you, generous to you. Then they will be sincere to you. Then they will be very, very generous with you. So all this will come back to you. That's why you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. What you do to people, you harm people, you kill people. In future, when there's condition, people will harm you, kill you. That's why you don't complain. Then if you have parents who are not responsible, who are heedless, they go and gamble, they go and drink, they go and do all sorts of funny things. They neglect their duty. They never even take care of their family members. Then they create a lot of suffering for their children, their spouse and all those things. They go and borrow money from loan shark and get themselves into trouble. So when they do that, they neglect their children, their family. In future, when they come, when they take birth, they will have parents who are also heedless like them. Do all those things back to them. That's why you reap what you sow. So if you see that in this life you have good parents, you are blessed with all these good people around you, means you already have an indication that in the past you must have cultivated all this goodness and wholesomeness. That's why you can reap them. But if you find that your life is full of suffering and misery, then the Buddha said, chances are, in the past, you have done all this nonsense to people. That's why there is condition for it to manifest. It will come back to you. Then you become the victim. Like victim of snatch thief, victim of calamity, and car accident or whatever. Then you go to school, you got no peace. You will not have good teacher to teach you and all those things. Then you will have your problem. So, all this, the Buddha said, you cannot blame anybody because the law of karma is very fair. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma condition and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So you are just the way you are because of your past action and karma. So if you have good karma, good parami, if you follow the advice of the Buddha, whenever you arise, your life is good. Because all this you will inherit, you are born of it, heir to it. So to the Buddha it's very simple. When you have right view with regards to this nature's law that governs life and existence, especially law of karma, then you will know how to develop the good life. Then your life will improve. You don't have to go and see the medium. You don't have to believe all the fortune teller. You don't have to go and do all the feng shui. You only need to understand this and change your life. And all this is free, no need money. You know feng shui, you need to pay a lot. Then the fortune teller can actually tell you a lot of things. Then the medium and all those things. And sometimes you even go and buy amulet or all those magic stone. You think it will help? It's not going to help. Then you do all the foolish thing, but you get yourself more and more entangled because you don't understand this teaching. So this teaching is like the secret of life that can explain to you clearly how you can improve your life, develop the wisdom so that you can be happy, can be peaceful, so that you need not suffer. So this Four Noble Truths, now I will zero in a bit, so that you understand why I call it the secret of life. Because all of life, whatever you can think of, is never apart from this Four Noble Truth. It's within this Four Noble Truth. So what is the First Noble Truth? Yeah? First Noble Truth is what? Yeah? Suffering. Huh? A lot of people used to tell me, suffering. It is not really that word, suffering alone. There is more to it. The Buddha said there is a Noble Truth that explains clearly to us what dukkha is. So this one, the First Noble Truth of dukkha, or translated as suffering, or unsatisfactoriness within life. But this dukkha actually is a very, very difficult word to understand. The all form of mind state is dukkha, actually, when you understand, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or whatever. Because when you don't have wisdom, you attach even to the good feeling, the good life, the good condition. Even you meditate when you have good experience. If you attach, means you have dukkha. Yeah. Then you will have this unhappiness in you when you cannot get what you want. Because you experienced it before, then through memory you recall there's attachment. Then you want it. And when you cannot get what you want, the Buddha say, you suffer. That's why all mind state, whether good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant, is a prelude to suffering. This First Noble Truth of dukkha or suffering is a very important Noble Truth. And the Buddha called it the realities of life and existence. Realities of life and existence. Why do you call reality? So this one, reality, means things that actually happen. If you live life long enough, you have to confront all these realities of life and existence. You have to experience them. And the Buddha said under this Noble Truth, when you don't have the right understanding of his teaching, when you are deluded, when you have ignorance, then you will suffer. So this one will explain clearly to you the prevalence of suffering. Oh, suffering. Suffering is everywhere, the Buddha said. But he never say life is suffering. That's why I don't get it wrong. Prevalence of suffering means if you don't have this understanding of his teaching, everything you encounter in life will lead to suffering. You will become unhappy, miserable, despite your success in life. Let's take for example. Let's say you grew up and you work very hard, very determined. Your parents help you. Then you have some form of good karma. Let's say you excel in your education. Then you graduate, you become very successful. Your career path takes off beautifully because of your parents' support and contact and all those things. Then you become very successful. You may reach the pinnacle of your career life. Then you have financial stability or financial independence. Because normally when you are successful in your career, you will have monetary success, financial success. So let's say you realize your financial independence early. You have all the wealth, all the money. Yeah. Then after that, you may think of owning a beautiful home, having a nice environment to stay in, then have beautiful cars and all those things. Then with the money, you can do a lot of things. You can travel. Then you think of having a family. But does that guarantee happiness in life? Do you think you will be happy? Yeah? Most people would have, isn't it? But go through it, then you will know. A lot of rich people has a lot of problems when they don't understand life. Because when you have a lot of money, they worry about what? That they will be robbed. That's why they hire bodyguard everywhere, understand? Then their whole house full of security measure. Children go out also need security guard, not security guard, bodyguard and all those things. Then you like no freedom, understand? You can't even, like last time, want to eat char kway teow, wear a short, just walk out. Then you go have nice char kway teow. Yeah, nobody knows you. But when you have all the wealth and all those status, there are a lot of things you cannot do. And these are very minor problems, but some rich people cannot take it. Then they have relationship problem with their loved one, their children and all those things. Then they have business enemy and all those things. But then the worst is after they work so hard, they stress themselves up. Then as they go through life, the reality of life and existence set in, the Buddha said, you have to confront old age, sickness and death. So old age, sickness and death together with birth, these are the first four reality. Yeah. And the Buddha said when you confront them with wisdom, you are okay. That's why suffering need not be. But if you don't have the wisdom, when you grow old, get sick, then about to die, what happened to you? There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of sadness, a lot of sorrow and lamentation. And you are afflicted. And this is what suffering is all about. It's everywhere in the midst of life and existence. When you don't have the wisdom, when you worry about your loved ones, you worry about your business, your wealth, all the things that you think you own. Then you worry about yourself, getting old, getting sick, and one day you will die. And you don't understand life. You don't know what happened when you die. You still have attachment to what you think you have in this world. So the Buddha summarized all this reality. He said, the first four is very basic. It can lead to suffering. Then on top of that, he said, when you cannot get what you want in life, you also will become afflicted. Suffering will arise. Then the next one is, when there is separation from your loved ones, from your possession, your wealth, your reputation or whatever. And that one is the most powerful. Separation can happen in many ways. First way is through death. Yeah. Accidental death or due to calamity, earthquake, tsunami, even building collapse. And all those snatch thief or whatever, and road accident, aeroplane accident or whatever. Yeah. So when death occur, the loved ones, they will be afflicted. Especially death of a breadwinner. Then sometimes separation need not only occur during death. When relationship failure doesn't work out, even the unmarried one, when you have problem with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, when they decide to separate from you, when they decide to drop you, what happened? You have a lot of suffering in you. Then the married one is the worst. You have your children, your in-law, your parents, your what they call brother, sister, and all these people. Then, because they are related to you, when you are affected, then your spouse want to divorce you. Then you become panic. you have so much fear, worry, anxiety, and you develop from love, it become hatred. Then you just want to take revenge. Then both the spouse will suffer. And not only they suffer, the children will suffer. The parent will suffer, the in-law will suffer. All those who have relationship with them also will be affected. So this is what suffering is all about. It will filter down and create a lot of problem. Yeah. Then sometimes mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they also can have relationship problem through misunderstanding. Then sometimes husband and wife possessiveness. You want to control your wife, your spouse. Then it leads to misunderstanding. And all these are suffering. And when you take things for granted, you don't appreciate life. You don't appreciate what your spouse has contributed for you towards the harmony, towards the success and the peace within the family. And through all those delusions, all this separation can arise. That's why small thing, they quarrel, argue. They end up, they couldn't take it anymore. They want a divorce. And divorce usually comes along with a lot of pain. Then you have to go to lawyer, pay the fee, argue over asset and other things, distribution. Then the rich ones are not exempted. That's why a lot of wealthy people now very scared. Their divorce is not cheap. It can cost them a lot. You have seen even in Malaysia, many of these big shots, they have problem. So separation can come in this way. Then sometimes when you are under situation where there is forced separation, during war or during what they call riots or what, then sometimes due to poverty, you have to give away your children. So this forced separation can happen. So whenever there is separation, then due to economic crisis, you make a wrong call, you make a wrong decision, your whole investment wipe off, your whole business overnight gone. Then sometimes due to nature's disaster, the whole thing get burned off or destroyed by flood, tsunami, especially those people who are not so wealthy or have the means to survive when they live in low-lying areas subject to flood and all those things. Then sometimes landslide, earthquake and all those things. Then war zone. When you are born in places which is not conducive to your karma, all this can lead to suffering. Then the Buddha also say when you are with people whom you don't like, you also suffer like sexual abuse. They call it sexual harassment or child bully and all those things. Or in your career life, when you have difficult bosses or superior, then you find that it's very difficult to work with them. That's why when you are with people whom you don't like, you have a lot of suffering, the Buddha said. Then of course the last one is when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, you will have a lot of problem, suffering. The expectation in life are not met. You expect to be promoted but never come. You expect your brother, sister, your spouse to understand you, to care for you, to love you, to remember your birthday. But when these are not forthcoming, you go and project your thought and you become very unhappy, miserable. Then you react. That's how suffering comes about. So the Buddha said these are all the realities of life and existence. Then to put it in modern terminology, when you go through old age, sickness and death, it's like you have health problem. You have old age problem like eczema and all those things. Then as you go through life and you become old, you find that your senses are failing you. You become more and more weak. You entangle yourself with more and more disease and sickness and you suffer. And all this need money, And the worst is after you hit 55, now maybe 60, people don't want you. You cannot work anymore. When you are out of job, especially when you are 50 plus, what are you going to do? You got no income, you worry. Then you depend on your children. If your children willing to help you, then you have good karmic past. But most children, I tell you, they themselves also cannot survive. They have got time for you. They used to say, to raise 9 children, parent can do it everywhere you saw. But 9 children to take care of one parent also very difficult, understand? So nowadays they say, the old folks home are getting very popular. Why? Because the children don't want their own parents. Because this is part of the reality of getting old. And the worst is, when you don't have the means, the parami, sometimes you got the money, but let's say you become a semi-paralyzed or vegetable with all the money, they cannot help you, understand? Maybe they can help you to hire good doctor and nurses, but can you pay the bill? Because nowadays medical bill is not cheap. So all this can bring about suffering. Then death, of course, we have seen many. Then disease also, like cancer, heart failure, stroke, even HIV and all those things. And nowadays, a lot more other type of traumatic disease. So when you are hit with any of this, or your loved one hit with any of this, how? When the doctor tell you, you got 6 months maximum to live, how you feel? And sometimes birth, the mother and the baby got complication. The doctor say you have to decide, you want to save the mother or the baby. These are very difficult decision, dilemma. So in life, that's why the Buddha say, all these realities of life exist, as you confront them, you don't have the wisdom, the teaching, the Dhamma, you will suffer, you will become miserable, you will become afflicted. So this is what the First Noble Truth is all about. It talks about the realities of life and existence. And when you confront them without wisdom, without understanding, suffering will arise. That's why the Buddha said, in this world, suffering is everywhere when you don't have this understanding. So for those who are new, maybe you will ask me, you mean, brother, when I understand the Four Noble Truths, I don't have this problem? Yes, the answer is yes, 100%. And it can happen. That's why this teaching is very unique. All those that I mentioned to you, you have the wisdom, the understanding born of this teaching. They are nothing. They will not affect you at all. And you can be at peace. You can even smile and just confront them without any suffering or problem. So this is the beauty of the teaching. But the Buddha didn't just stop here, no. He said, this is just to tell you, we are the First Noble Truth, that suffering is everywhere, prevalence of suffering, the realities of life and existence. You have to confront them. So before you confront them, he said, you better develop the understanding of life, so that when you confront them with wisdom, you don't have to go through suffering. You don't have to be affected by all this. This is what he means. Means, despite all your mundane success, means materialistic success in life, you still have to develop the spiritual understanding to complement your mundane success. Otherwise, you still suffer. So this part, spiritual understanding, the supramundane, is what the teaching is all about. That's why you can be very successful materialistically. You can have all the materialistic success like I mentioned just now. Career success, economic success, then financial freedom, having all the beautiful things that money can bring to you. Enjoy life, having the sport car, everything. But then without the spiritual understanding, when things go wrong, when you are hit by the realities of life and existence, you will be afflicted. You will have delusion to attach, to cling and hold and develop all the frustration, the anger, the suffering, the misery, the fear, the worry and the anxiety. And all this has hit living beings all over the world. And you have seen even celebrities, great powerful politicians, when they grow old, when they are so sick, what happened? All the wealth, no more use. They say money cannot buy you wealth. Oh, sorry, money cannot buy you health. Then when you are so weak, so old, so fragile, so useless, when you are down with all the disease and the sickness, how are you going to cope with life? Then the Buddha said, not only the first noble truth, he said, there is a second noble truth that explains to you clearly the cause of suffering. To you clearly the cause of all this suffering. The cause of all this suffering. So the Buddha said, whatever suffering that you encounter within life, within the first noble truth, realities of life and existence, there is a cause behind. And this cause is just your self-delusion. Self-delusion. That condition. Your craving. What are craving? This word craving is a very powerful word. Tanha, craving is the cause of suffering. All of your attachment, all of your grasping, clinging, desire, lust, they are all craving, positive and negative. The negative is all your hatred, all your anger, all your envy, your jealousy, your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your fear. These are all craving. So if you know how suffering arises, and when you understand the first noble truth, the realities of life and existence that can give rise to suffering, means when you understand the cause behind all this suffering that you experience, what can you do? Yeah? Let's say you know these two teachings. If you know why you suffer, if you know what constitutes suffering, because this reality of life existence is explained. Everything that you encounter in life, you already experience them and it leads to suffering. Then when the Buddha explained to you that the cause is your self-delusion, where you believe this form and mind is real, you believe this is you. That's why this personality or egoic mind will condition you to become possessive. Then you try to own things, have things, because you think you exist, correct? This is how selfishness, greed come about. Then because you are selfish and greedy, you want to own, you want to possess, you want to control, you want to be possessive, you want to have authority and all those things. Then you have craving, you have desire. All these are part of your evil roots of greed. So the evil roots manifest through self-delusion because you think you exist. You think you are real. And this is an illusion. And because of that, suffering arises. So our meditation is to see clearly that this form and mind is not what we think we are. This one is karmically conditioned out, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, to do what you want to do. And for most people, to come back and pay back your karma, to experience the thing that you did to people. Because you didn't know it when you did to people. So, this nature's law are so powerful. So the Buddha said, now that you know what suffering is and the cause behind, you will have more understanding to deal with them, isn't it? You will know how to manage your life better, isn't it? So if you know this is the cause of suffering, then you should meditate. You should contemplate into it. And you should learn this teaching. Develop the spiritual faculty to understand this clearly. So when you understand this, then you know if this is an illusion, there is nobody to crave, to own, and to have anything, then your problem is gone. Even the first four reality, birth, old age, sickness, and death, you will come to know no one born, no one died, no one sick, and no one get old. Because that is the form of mind, nothing to do with you. The body is just element, go the way of nature. Consciousness is mind, trapped inside. And this mind, you can meditate into it and analyze. There are aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, activity of mind, consciousness. Are they you? Are they real? If they are you, when feeling arises and pass away, did you die? You didn't die. That's why they are not you. And if they are not you, then why they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? This is meditation. This is how you understand yourself. Break free so that you are not deluded and deceived. Okay? Then the Buddha continued. He didn't even stop there. He said there is a third noble truth. This third noble truth is the most important. Third noble truth. This one, the Buddha says, suffering need not be. Suffering need not be. Means enlightenment in the here and the now. Enlightenment. In the here and the now is possible. Means this enlightenment, you don't have to wait till death to realize them. When you meditate and cultivate his teaching, you can come to a awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now before you die. That's why the Buddha said the moment you awaken and become enlightened, you become noble one. You have the Dhamma. Then you no longer suffer. Then all this reality of life and existence, you can confront them, no problem. They are just beautiful experience. Even in the midst of life, going through all this reality, you can still have peace. Your mind is still peaceful. There is still happiness. There is still joy within you. And you can see them clearly. You can accept them for what they are. And you can be at peace with them. You will just know what to do. We got no reality. Hate you, hate me. Living being is the same. Form and mind. Then there is no more argument. No more misunderstanding. No more fear. No more worry. No more anxiety. No more attachment to them. You can love them. With all your sincerity, your heart and all this thing. But you will never attach where they are not what you think they are. Where even this form of mind doesn't belong to you. Where does loved one exist? They don't really exist. They only exist because within the conditioned world, law of karma say yes, you are related. Law of karma recognizes relationship. Law of karma recognizes that form of mind, the human being or living being. And that one, too, the law of karma exists, real. But that one is not you. Yeah, that one is conditioned arising, dependent originating. So when you have this understanding, then you realize suffering need not be. That is the best. Understand now? I don't have to experience all this. I only need to learn this meditation, cultivate it, and awaken to it. Then my life is free. Then I can do what I like. I can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life without having to worry about this body getting old, getting sick and dying. Means what? I can use it. And I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. I know this one is not me. But karmically conditioned now for you to use, understand? Like your car, serve you, take you around. Yeah. So you only need to take care of it, but you don't attach to it, understand? When conditioned no more, you need to condemn, let it go. Then you take care of karma, don't worry. A better car will come, understand? A better vehicle will come in the future. But you don't take care of karma, you may not even have a car, understand? You have to be contented with Volkswagen. the two-leg walk. Then maybe sometime you will be given a very, very ojang. You know what is the ojang? You go out, problem everywhere. Means you born with a lot of problem. DNA, everything, haywire. So like the ojang, dry for a while, give problem away. Then sometime water not enough. That one, what you call that radiator? Every day also leak on. I got one colleague, electrical engineer, last time worked here. He got not much money, so he bought his first car. Mechanic sell him 2005. He told me so cheap. I say, you saw the car, you tested the car. He said, yeah, the mechanic drive it around for me. But he didn't tell him the problem. The first month, he took the car back. A lot of problem. After that, he give up. He tell the mechanic, I sell back to you. The mechanic say, not at 2005. Nobody wants this car. That's why it's so cheap. You know, he got to carry 1 gallon water to drive down to KL from MU. Because the radiator leak. And the first time he didn't know, he cannot break down. You know, when you break down there with the radiator, all the smoke cap all come out. Then this motorbike fellow will come. They really, really slaughter you. Then they fix for him. They say, okay, temporary. You go back to your mechanic. Then he go to the mechanic, complain. Say, what you expect of a 2005 car? That was the answer given to him. So he say, he really, really prefer not to use car. That's why if you don't take care of karma, when you come, you get an old junk, you end up like him. With a lot of problem. Everything also not right one inside there. Then your life is full of suffering, misery. So life is just about understanding. When you understand all this, no more problem. Then the Buddha didn't stop there. He said, there is a fourth noble truth. This one no more ink. There's a fourth noble truth. That explain to you clearly the path. Which is the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering. All suffering. This is what enlightenment is all about. So this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the fourth noble truth, when you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. He didn't even tell you that it's possible and stop there. Most people will say, yeah, can you meditate, then you will become enlightened. But the Buddha didn't say that. The Buddha said, no, I will tell you very specifically. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as realized by him and taught by him, you will realize the cessation of all suffering. You will lead to the end of all suffering. So just to train your mind to have heedfulness to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, and you will become heedful. That's why you will become enlightened. So this Appamada is the most important. That's why heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. And the Buddha in Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 confirmed all this. Then not only this, the Buddha said, if you develop this meditation, there are a lot of benefits that come with it. Not only the wisdom leading to the enlightenment. He said, first of all, as we go through life, As we get ourselves entangled more into life, we have a lot of mental suffering, mental agony. That's why a lot of people, even nowadays, a lot of young kids, they have depression, you know that. mental problem. The psychiatric ward now a lot. And modern people pay a lot of money to see psychiatrists. Yeah. And they just talk to you and give you all the drugs. And they charge you. They really charge you. Then, because they find peace so difficult to come by. But the Buddha's teaching is so simple. He said, if you train your mind and develop the spiritual faculty, peace in the here and the now is very easy, is it? You will experience them. That's why the benefits of meditation is it? Immediate one. The moment you start, like just now, the mind sweeping method, to combine metta, what do you develop? You develop the quietness of mind, the inner peace, is it? Leading to the inner well-being. And these are the first two benefits. Then when you have this inner peace leading to the inner well-being, your mind becomes composed. It has clarity, anasana. It's not heedless, it's not restless. It don't have problem. It don't think like before, anasana. But it's peaceful, quiet, still, silent. Then when you radiate love and metta, you have good mind state. They call loving kindness. That joy that you experience, that pity. That's like inner peace leading to inner well-being and spiritual joy. Spiritual calmness, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, all these are of great benefit to the living being. Because peace is so difficult to come by. So if you want to settle down, calm yourself down, and develop some moment of peace, you just go back to meditation. Then when you can develop until you are in the midst of life, having this heedfulness, apamada, then you are peaceful all the time. You don't have to learn to be peaceful. You don't have to meditate to be peaceful. Your mind state is always peaceful. Then when you have clarity of mind, you can see things as they are. You can study better. You can work more efficiently. You can be more productive. Then you make better decisions in life. These are all the benefits of meditation. Then when you have this type of calmness, this type of inner well-being, inner peace leading to inner well-being, these are all positive energy, positive mind states. This can help you recover from your disease. Most people, when they have disease, especially cancer, you know what is the cause or not? Yeah? The main cause is stress. When you are very stressful, to have a moment of peace is so important. Because all this stress comes from what? Your work pressure, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your exam fever and all those things. Your relationship problem, your girlfriend problem, whatever. Your financial problem, the first number two reality that created all the stress. Then what happened? These are negative energy fields, especially fear, worry, anxiety. That's why it causes your cells to mutate. Then your immune system go down. That's why you become very vulnerable. You develop cancer, illness, disease, without you knowing it, very fast, because your mind state is too weak. That's why meditation can help you to recuperate, to develop the positive energy of peacefulness, calmness, loving kindness, well-being, and the spiritual calmness leading to the spiritual joy. These are very positive mind states. Like loving kindness, metta, compassion. And when this positive energy comes in, it will help boost your immune system. That's why you can recover. That's why you have to combine meditation with medication. Otherwise, very difficult to recover. Sometimes drug alone, medication alone, surgery alone may not be enough. You have to have good mind states. Because this is so important to your immune system. When you have good mind state, half your battle is won. When you know how to silent, relax and calm down, the body will actually heal itself. That's why when you have sickness, what the doctor give you? Antibiotic. You know what is the antibiotic? Make you sleepy. Why? So that you don't resist. Your thought don't come out and disturb you. And then your nature's body, it has its own healing power. That's why when you are knocked off, you heal. You heal. Because there is no fear, there is no worry, no anxiety, no negativity or mind state. You become very calm, like meditative state. That's why they put anesthesia and knock you out during surgery. Then you cannot resist. You cannot do anything. Then they do what they like. So you're lucky, you get the right doctor, you are okay. If not, they will leave something behind and inside your body. Then sometimes after they do the surgery, then they say, "Ayo, I didn't know. That part I'm not supposed to cut, no." But already cut. So a lot of these things can happen because nature is just the way it is. Okay, we got another 10 minutes. Maybe I will just summarize it. So this is basically what the teaching is all about. It can help you understand life, improve your life, develop the wisdom and the understanding to free yourself from all this unnecessary suffering and misery. So that you can have the beautiful life, the meaningful life, so that your life is more, more meaningful, more beautiful, so that you can really live life to the fullest. You get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and life can become very beautiful, very meaningful. All of a sudden, like, you find meaning in life. Life is no longer like what you think before, full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and suffering. Everything also like problem. You worry about this, worry about that, worry about everything. From ranging from health problem to all the other type of life's problem. Then sometimes you worry about your children, your loved one, your spouse, your good friend. Then not only that, after that you even worry about your grandchildren, see, worse still. Then you worry about your wealth, your property, your own health and all those things. Then there is so much thing that you worry about. Whatever you think you own, you worry. So life is full of suffering when you project your thought and develop the anxiety, the fear, the worry and all these things. So this is why this teaching is very important. When you develop the understanding, it can actually transform you, improve your life, and even enable you to become enlightened. Then after that, on top of all this, you develop the benefits of meditation to have inner peace, inner calmness, inner well-being. Then all the spiritual tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, calmness of mind, the clarity to see things clearly, to study better for those who are studying. Then those who are working, you work more efficiently, you become more productive. Then you have life situation or problem because of that clarity of mind, you are not muddled up, you don't have fear, you don't worry, you don't have anxiety. You can use that clarity to make better decisions. To calm yourself down and ask yourself, what is happening? Then when you understand what is happening, then you ask yourself, what are my options? How can I resolve this amicably? And then you don't go and worry about life. You just live. Anasana. You solve your problem. That's it. No point arguing about the problem, worry about the problem. All this will not solve your problem, will not help you. But you have a clear mind to look at it and ask yourself, what is the reality? Let's take, for example, health problem. The doctor diagnosed really cancer. So what are you going to do? You got two choices. React to it, become miserable, develop the fear, project the thought and all those things, and suffer. This is what most people do. When you have the Dhamma, what happened? This body is not me. Made of our element. When I don't take care, this thing will happen. So I have to accept this reality. If I accept this reality, means what? I don't have fear anymore. I don't have to worry anymore. But this is the number two. Every living being, not only me, have to confront them. As you live long enough, when the conditions are not right, you will have to confront disease, sickness, etc. Then many people in this world also have cancer. So if I accept this reality, I don't project my thought, I don't have fear, I don't have all this wrong thought, negative thought, then what happened? My mind is still calm, sober, at peace. Then I can ask myself, what are my options? Can I have a second opinion? I talk to the doctor. Can I do an independent test? Find another doctor to confirm. Let's say the second test. Most of the time, second test cannot turn out the other way around. Because sometimes the test can go wrong. But you feel that nothing wrong with you, and you have done the right thing, then you do a second opinion. It can turn out to be the opposite. But let's say confirm, still have. Biopsies come out, confirm. What are you going to do? Like I say, you got two choices. React, panic, and become miserable. So after that, you tell yourself, this is a reality, I have this. How did I end up like that? Because of my delusion, my fear, my attachment, my heedlessness. So now I'm going to reverse all this because of the food I take. Then I have to consult people who has recovered. What they do. So develop the various way to treat yourself. Then you go for meditation first. Make your mind state very good. Then build out your immune system. Then talk to the doctor. Before I go for chemo, is there any other way I can recover from all this? Then the doctor, if he's not money-minded, professional, good doctor, they will advise you. A lot of things can help you. So all this are useful. Then you search the internet. You send SOS out. Then nowadays with the internet, a lot of people who have the experience, they will share with you. Then you filter them. Then you do what you have to do. Instead of projecting your thought, developing the fear, worry, anxiety, and make yourself miserable, then when you are miserable, your loved one also miserable. Everybody was so miserable. Then when you project your thought, it's the worst. And so the thought will say, what happened if my wife come to know? What happened if my company come to know? I will lose my job. So from a simple problem, your thought project and create so much problem. Then you become so sad, so miserable. You lock yourself up. You throw your tantrum. You don't want to talk to people. Then later on, people tell you, hey, not cheap, no chemo. In the term of 100,000 or no. Hey, you're lucky, unhappy. So all this, if you don't meet the right people who can advise you, you will have a lot of suffering. And these are real situations that can bring about tremendous suffering in the human mind. Because this is pending death, understand? And this type of deep-rooted fear is not easy to overcome if you don't have the understanding, the Dhamma. But when you have the teaching, the Dhamma, no problem, understand? You can confront them. You can even smile at them. Like my teacher said, you must learn to die before you die. Then you can smile at the dead. Cannot? About to die, smiling. Die smiling. like nothing happened. Then can be good friend with death. Actually, nothing die. Who die? What die? Nothing die. Separation of consciousness from the form. And when it happened, it's a great relief, you know. When the craving force that bound this consciousness to the body, when it start to dissipate, that is the best. But you must have the mindfulness to understand all this. That's why you must meditate. When I was young, I went through that phase without knowing that these are craving force. But I remember clearly what happened. When I went through that process, when I was very young, 9 years old, I remember, I was so tired. I played until that day. I got no more energy, physical energy. Then I went back, I just collapsed into the bed. Then like a deadlock. Then, very funny, that time I didn't even meditate, I don't even know anything. Then I saw very clearly inside there, with my mind, the body going through that transformation, it becomes so still, so quiet, because no more craving force. Then this craving force starts to dissipate, no? Then my consciousness starts to free, you know. Then it come out. Yeah. That's how I understand all this. Yeah. I actually died. Well, after that, when I realized I want to go back, I cannot go back. The body is no more mine. Then don't know what happened, because of good coming or what. I just struggle. Then I went in, pop, I went in. Then I regained back consciousness, take control of the body. First thing I did was check with my brother, did you walk in and say all those words? He looked at me and said, yeah, how do you know you were like a log sleeping there? So that's why all this is to allow me to have the condition to understand when I later on grew up and do the meditation. That's why I know nothing died. Just consciousness separate from the form, it just come out. And this random of consciousness can stay there. Yeah. But the one with the wisdom, it can go into cessation and finish. Yeah. It's up to the form and mind. Depending on your wisdom level and understanding. If you don't meditate, all the phase, when it happens, you cannot understand. It just like didn't happen to you. Because most people, before they die, they lost consciousness already. Yeah. They already don't know what is going on already. So coming, take over. But if you are a cultivator, no such thing. Your awareness is there. And all this delusion, they cannot deceive you. The phenomenal world cannot deceive you. All this consciousness thing, they cannot play trick on you. The awareness is different. That's why you will witness the whole thing and go through the whole so-called death process. But it's not a real death process. It's going back to cessation. Then after that, it can still come out if you want to. Okay? So with that, I think I will end today's sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So for those who are new, I hope you can develop the interest to find out for yourself. Don't have to believe what I say. You go and study yourself. And the seminar book is a very good guide, because that was the seminar I attended. They invited me to deliver a paper in the year 2013 in Bangkok under the World Buddhist University and the World Fellowship of Buddhists. They co-organized this together with another mindfulness center. So during that sharing, that paper, we decide to print it out in a booklet form so that you can understand. And there is a lot about this teaching that I have explained inside there. Most of it is there. So just read that thin booklet and you will understand. You don't have to remember. Anyway, it's recorded. You want to listen again, you can. Okay? So we will end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will do the sharing of merits and transfer merits. Then we can make our aspiration. Then we end the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata jamehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, and we shall end.
Brothers and sisters, sorry, give me just a second. This is regarding the those who are going to the Katina. We are having a briefing day on the 1st of October, which is this coming Saturday. I'm saying this so that it will be recorded so that those who are not here today, they will know exactly what is going to be transpired on that day. Actually, the very important thing is that Brother Teo will be actually speaking on the significance of the Katina Day, and also why we are doing and why we are going there. And secondly, it's also on the Common Pool Fund that Brother Teo always has it in any spiritual trip that we go to, and he will explain to you why. We are having this Common Pool Fund, and what is the benefit to in the participation of that? And finally, of course, I'll be briefing you those who are going on the meeting points, and because this is a grouped departure for Malindo Air and also for Nook Air Internal Air, it's very important that everybody has to be on time, because we can't wait for just one person and then the whole group doesn't get to fly off. And secondly, it's also I've seen that quite a few of them are new people who are going for Katinas. And when you are in Thailand, there are certain rules and regulations that you have to adhere to in the Thai traditional ways. When you are in a forest monastery. This is very important, because sometimes as Malaysian, we are not aware of that, and we tend to do it the Malaysian way. So we try to be as mindful as possible when we go through, when we are there. And that's the reason why I think if those of you who can make it for this coming Saturday, it would be good. If not, then of course, we will try to get it recorded and listen to the Dropbox. Okay. Any question here? Those who are going for the Katina? Good. I'll see you on 1st of October, Saturday then. Thank you.